Hey there, Rob here. Just getting you ready for my podcast with Lyrsa. Had a lot of fun talking everything through with Lyrsa about this week's episode of Survivor. Just want to give you the heads up that there's some adult language in this podcast, especially towards the end of the show. So if that's not the kind of thing that you want to hear, then I will see you on our next podcast. Or if you have young kids running around or in the car with you or at work, any of those situations, then this might be a podcast that you want to listen to at a later date. Hope you enjoy the podcast with Lyrsa. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who cuts into each and every Survivor episode right down to the bone. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And it's our feedback show. We're going to be answering a bunch of your questions here today. And I'm very excited to have with me back on the podcast. I mean, we talked to last season on the feedback show. I thought it went so well. Want to have her back on with me to talk about everything that's going on. Please welcome the great Lyrsa Torres. Lyrsa, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes. That's always good.
Excuse me?
Yes.
I say that a lot at work, and I use my own memes to reply to stuff on the Slack.
Yeah, that's fun, right?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. One of the new girls didn't know, and she posted something in one of the Slack channels, and I replied back with that meme from that excuse me, and she's like, wait, is that you? I'm like, yeah, I was on Survivor. And now she's watching Millennial versus Gen X, mm-hmm. and she's watching, like, she started to watch the whole show because she hasn't seen it. And they're like, the new girls are so excited. Like, they really think I'm a celebrity. And I'm like, I'm not. They're like, but you were on TV. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
Is that why in your Twitter bio, I noticed that it says Celesbian?
Well, my original plan with the show was obviously win and then become a Celesbian, which is a celebrity.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, it's a lesbian that is a celebrity. The biggest one is Ellen. She's the biggest,
biggest lesbian. I thought maybe that you were celibate. I thought that that might have been what it meant.
Oh, no, honey. I'm not celibate. No, never.
Okay.
Never.
So yeah, I saw that in your Twitter bio. I said, oh, that's interesting. I never saw that before. But Lyrsa, you're the perfect person to talk to about this season, I realized as I was getting ready, because here we have Sandra and Boston Rob, and you are like the combination of Sandra and Boston Rob.
Yeah, I could be like their kid because I'm Puerto Rican and I live in Boston.
Yeah.
So it's like, bing, yeah.
So you're the perfect person. But in all seriousness, I remember when we talked about you versus David versus Goliath, that you were somebody that talked a lot about Sandra in terms of how you're going to play the game and that she was like an idol of yours.
Yeah, I will have died. I will have been like Vince. As soon as I saw Sandra, if I will have been in his position and I see Sandra come out of the bushes, I will have started crying. Like if I were seeing, I don't know, like the Pope or something for like religious people, I will start crying too. So I really felt for him because like, oh my God, I love Sandra. And if she likes something that I post on Facebook, I get like all these fan jitters. I'm like, oh my God. And I always write to Jess, send her like my status, send a reply to this. I get so excited. It's so stupid.
Have you ever met Sandra?
No, I haven't met her. And probably when I meet her, I wouldn't be able to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
Well, then I will say something really, really stupid. I open like that, something really stupid. Or nothing at all.
And it would be like when Vince got to meet Sandra on the Island of the Idols when Rob started talking to him?
Yeah, I will start crying like a baby. Like,
where are you from, man?
Sorry.
You don't know where you're from?
Poor Vince. Like, he even forgot where he's from. I really wanted him to go far in the game. I always root for my gays.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to get your take on Vince because I feel like that Vince was a very fun character who we lost too soon here in the pre-merge.
Yeah, I don't. I even wrote that on my notes. I don't understand this new obsession.
I love that you took notes, Liersa.
Oh, yeah. I have like in my adult things pad, I wrote a couple of things.
Wait, so I'm not that low. In your what?
I have like a, you know, those pad to take notes.
Yeah.
And it says adult things, but I never write like anything that is adult related at all.
You have a pad that's adult things.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Jess gave it to me for either anniversary or like birthday or something. Christmas, I think.
That's
it
was the Christmas. Much less popular Netflix follow up to Stranger Things, Adult Things.
Adult.
Although I guess it might be very popular, Adult Things.
It will be a great show because like, adulting is so hard. Like I'm not adulting anymore because I'm a freaking adult now, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
I never thought when you're a kid, you're always like, oh, I want to be a grown up. I want to be like 21 already. And then when you're like my age, you're like, oh, fuck, I want to be 18 again. Like, this is ridiculous. I have so many bills and so many stuff going on. Kids, if you're listening to this, don't hurry up to grow up. It sucks. Enjoy being young and fearless and free. Because once you get that first credit card, you're going to be screwed forever.
Would that be your lesson that you would teach on the Island of the Idols?
Definitely. When you get your paycheck, just pay all your credit cards and cut them in half. Never use them again.
Okay, I interrupted you. You were telling me what it said in your notebook about Vince.
Yeah, I think that we lost him very quick. I think he was hilarious. I really love his shirt. I need to talk to him because I want it. Mm-hmm. At least know where he bought it because I love like that on vacation shirts. But I don't understand this new thing of like, oh, this person has an idol. We have to flush it. You don't know if there's a swap coming and you end up in a try with Vince in a minority and you have to use an idol to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really don't get this new thing that we need to flush it. We need to flush it. Even Jessica, that it's not a hardcore fan. She was like, why do they need to get rid of the idol? That's like not that smart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They were very concerned about Vince with the idol. I think that Vince just didn't fit in with either group in that tribe where I think that he felt like, okay, I'm with the women, but that there was a secret scene where Missy was talking about how she didn't know where his head was at. And I don't know if he was trying to play the middle too much, but he just turned into too easy of a vote for both sides.
Yeah, no side was going to miss him regarding of like a count on any vote. Like, yeah, I understand that part. And I do understand that he wasn't fitting because at some point I felt the same. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's something cultural or I just felt like I was in the middle of things too. Like either at a very, very bottom because I was always the target or like nobody consulted me anything most of the times when we're in small groups, like with the Javani tribe. I don't know.
Yeah. Could you talk about that a little bit? Because, yeah, we saw Ronnie end up being the first person that was voted out. But in this episode, you had Vince, who didn't really talk too much about how he wasn't fitting in, but that for whatever reason, both of the sides felt like he was expendable. And then the other person who we saw talk a lot about how she didn't fit in was Karishma.
Yeah. And she wasn't. I don't think that they, because they had more of a solidified thing with the women, I don't think she was going to be voted out.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I was, believe it or not, I was the oldest female on the David's tribe.
Yeah.
And that was also one of the things, because I'm like, these people are like super young. And when they were talking about stuff like superheroes, I was just listening to them because I'm not into that. I'm sorry.
You don't like superheroes.
Oh, yeah, I do. But it's not like this thing that I have to go watch all the movies. Like, I'm so tired of seeing on my newsfeed the Joker things on people being so affected or like so hype about it. It's just a movie about a superhero that mm-hmm. it's not real. real. So I don't get it. Maybe it's my age, but I understand that they're not fitting in for different reasons. I thought at first that I wasn't not going to fit in because I'm from another culture, completely different culture. And then it was like, I don't know. I look so different. Like with different people, I felt that I didn't fit in with them. And the person that I thought I was never going to fit in with was Elizabeth. And that's the person I fit the most with, which is, to me, is like super funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Lizzie.
Yeah. How is Elizabeth doing?
Oh, she's good. I saw her on last August on that Hearts
of Reality. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so funny because we were rooming together. And we do have Puerto Rican food here in Boston, but we have a lot of Puerto Ricans in Orlando. So I was really excited about the event, but I was also really excited because I was going to see my friends and eat Puerto Rican food. And I ordered a dish called mofongo, which is mashed plantains with garlic. And I told Elizabeth, well, I'm going to give you the food of my people. And I introduced her to mofongo and to tripletas because then we went to a food truck park with one of my best friends. And they had a Puerto Rican food truck and she ate a tripleta. And then when she went back to Texas, she wrote me, how do I cut the plantains for the mofongo? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, I went. It was so good. She loved it so much that she went back home, got plantains, and she did it for her family.
She tried to make it.
Yeah. Oh, and she showed me pictures and they all love it. And then she calls me and asks me like, how thick should I cut the plantains? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, let me call my mom because I just cut them. I just know how to do it. I can't explain it to you. I just do it. So then she asked me like, how do I know if they're fried? And I'm like, you just need to pinch them with a fork. I know it sounds stupid, but that's how we do it. Just pinch it. And if it goes through, they're done. So I'm trying to explain to her all of these cultural things. I'm very worried that she wouldn't understand because I call my mom. I'm like, mom, how do I tell Elizabeth that the plantains are ready? And she's like, mija, ponle un tenedor. And I'm like, yeah, that's put a fork in it. And I'm like, yeah, but like, is there another way? And I'm a chef and I don't know how to explain this to her. And she's like, no, just tell her she will know. She knows how to cook, right? Just tell her to pinch it with a fork. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, my mom says, pinch it with a fork that you will know. That's how she does it. That's how we do it. We just pinch it and we know.
That could have been your vote out thing when you held up your parchment to say, put a fork in it for all these people when you're voting them out.
Oh, that's a good one, man.
On a t-shirt.
We should do a t-shirt about that.
When you go back, Lyrsa.
Yes, I would love to go back. I don't know if they call me because they have so many good characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they will ever call me back, but I would love to go back. And oh, that will be a different Lyrsa. I was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so willing to do what people thought it was best because I wanted to go down, you know, under the radar for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then come out of it. And it didn't happen. Thank you, Gemini guys. It didn't happen.
So is that the kind of lesson that you would like to see the Survivor players get on the Island of the Idols? Like, is it, should they have somebody there who hasn't just won the game where that they can talk about, okay, these are the kinds of things I wish I knew when I was playing?
Yeah, I think that you should play with your gut, first of all. And just do things that you think it wouldn't work because sometimes they do work. Like that Jessica vote, I was so scared and I'm like, this is not going to work, but let's try it. And it did work. And that's how life actually is. You try stuff and if they work, they work. And if they don't, they don't. But at least you don't have that thing that, I should have done this. And that's something that my roommate has never seen the show. And we saw my season last week,
mm-hmm.
and it all came back and it kind of messed me up a little bit, but
oh no,
I was like, yeah.
What part? What messed you up, Lyrsa?
Oh, I should have been more savvy and I should have talked more. And I have discussed this with Natalie. I should have been more willing and more open to talk to her And instead of seeing like, she's the crack, we need to get her out. Mm-hmm. I should have been like, she's the crack, I need to put her on my side, instead of like letting her believe in it's Goliath, yeah. Goliath, Goliath.
Okay. So what would you have done that? So not the, not when you got voted out, when there were four people at, what was it? Jabini.
Yeah, right? No, that was a lost case.
The one before that, when Natalie got voted out on the famous Jackets Tribal Council, that you and Nick should have pulled Natalie over with you?
Yeah, and pulled one of the other twos.
Okay, not Mike White, right?
Rob, why? Why are you putting me? Yeah, I would have voted out Mike.
What?
I like Mike. I
do too.
I was rooting for him the whole time he was on The Amazing Race. And people, I think people know this. If I were on the merge and it was between the three of them, I really love Nick, but I would have voted Mike because I would have voted for Mike because Mike was always willing to talk to me. He was super nice. He took the time to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And that in Survivor is very important. Like Rob and Sandra were explaining to Kelly,
yes.
You need to listen to people. And Mike was always listening when I had something to say.
He's always listening.
Yeah. It's part of the game.
Yeah. But would Nick have done that? Would Nick have voted out Mike White? That was his rock star buddy.
No, he wouldn't have voted out Mike.
Okay.
We will have probably voted out Angelina.
Oh, come on.
Well, she's a good character. I'm not saying no. And people think that there's some rumors out there that I don't like Angelina. And it's not true. But in the game, I should have voted her out. And mm-hmm. and it will have worked on my favor, obviously, because at the end, the last persons that were on the and on the final three were Mike,
that's
Nick,
right.
and Angelina.
Why
are you making me talk about this?
You said that you watched your season and things came back. I didn't make you talk about that.
That's what it came back. And the whole time I rewatch it, I just think that could have been me.
Okay.
And I know it's silly and it's over and it is over. I have like no regrets. I had a lot of fun. I'm really grateful that I got the chance to play the game, even if I was first out. And I have always said this. This is something that I always wanted because I'm such a fan of the show, that just being there for like 3 days would have been enough for me, mm-hmm. you know, but seeing that the people I left at the tribal when I went out were the final three, it hurts.
Yeah.
Because I think that maybe that could happen to me.
Okay, Valirsa, let's talk about the lessons that Rob and Sandra are teaching these survivors. And I have a question for you that comes from one of our listeners, and it's a person named Brent in Minnesota. I got to meet him over the summer when I did a live show in Minnesota. Here is Brent, and he has a question for you.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Lyrsa. This is Brent from Minneapolis. And my question is about Vince and his trip to the Island of the Idols. I think that the lesson and the task and his visit was really bad for his game, maybe even the reason that he went home. Rob said that his lesson was about staying calm under pressure. And he got back after his visit, and he was full of confidence. He had this boost after getting this idol. He stayed maybe too calm under the pressure of the impending tribal council, and maybe should have been way more paranoid, and maybe should have run a little bit more chaotically and made some moves like he was telling Karishma to do. So what do you think? Do you think that his visit to the Island of the Idols was bad for the way it made him play? Obviously, it was bad because it made him a target, but I actually think that it affected him psychologically in a way that set him up to fail. So, yeah, what do you think? Thanks.
Lyrsa, Stephen Fishback gave the fishy this week to Rob and Sandra for getting Vince voted out of the game. Are they responsible? Did they get Vince voted out?
No, I think that he got too confident because he achieved the task that they gave him. And I think it boosted his confidence so much that he was too calm about it. And when you feel and you know that you're in the middle, you need to be sure before going to tribal that it's not you.
Yeah.
And if you feel that you're in the middle and anything can happen when you're in that position, use your idol.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Use your idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you should be calm in the game. Even if you're panicking on the inside, just don't show it. But also if you're going to tribal and you're in the middle, just move around and try to like make sure that it's not you. And if you feel that it might be you, man, you have an idol, freaking use it.
Yeah. You know what else? Also, if you're in the middle, it's hard to be in the middle and then also be gone for a while, because I think that leads mm-hmm. to people saying like, hey, let's vote out the person that's in the middle when you are not literally around. Like, you can't see yeah. what's going on. You're sort of counting on, well, these people don't like these people, these people don't like these people, so I'm good.
Yeah. If you're not there, you miss so much, because honestly, aside from the challenges, there is nothing to do but talk. Mm-hmm. And the talk, aside being food that you're craving and how bad you smell, is who are we going to vote out and who's not here? Vince, yeah. He cannot listen to what we're talking about. So let's plan this right now.
Is that a popular conversation topic of who smells the worst?
You know what? Once you get used to it, you don't talk about it anymore. The first few days you're like, oh my God, I smell so bad. Oh my God, I smell so bad. But then you get used to it. But in our case, when we were taken out of the island because of the hurricane, and it's well known that they have to take us out. That's when you feel and you smell the reality of your body odor, because you're going to a place that is freaking clean and it doesn't smell nice. Bad. Yeah, yeah, it smells nice. So when you're there, you're like, oh my God, I do stench. And it's a smell that there's nothing that I can tell, like, oh, rotten eggs. No, it smells, it's a combination.
It's always eggs.
Yeah, but no, it rains so much that you're never dry.
Yeah.
So your clothing starts to get moldy smell, like cheese, like moldy cheese.
Okay.
And then you have
we're grossing people out too much, Lyrsa.
It's not good. Yeah. You don't smell good. And you talk about not smelling good.
Yeah. In my season, when I played in the Amazon, I didn't play long enough in the All-Stars for people to smell really bad. I think probably Big Tom probably actually smelled pretty bad. But in the Amazon, there was talk about one guy in particular. Like, everybody smelled, but that one guy smelled the most. And I don't know if it's too mean to say it now, but it was Matthew. He had like a jacket to go back to jackets that really smelled. And then, but you didn't really notice each other, except for then Matthew had like a particularly pungent smell. But then, and the crew people would talk about it, like, whoa, you guys stink. Like Jeff Probst even were like, oh my God, you guys smell so bad.
Yeah, I will apologize so much to the production people when they had to put our mics on, because when I realized how bad we smell and they have to get so close to us, I'm like, I'm so sorry I smell so bad. I'm so sorry I smell. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. But it's not fine.
It's not fine.
No. We reek.
Okay. Lyrsa, I want to play a question for you. This is from Sheldon from London, and he wants to know exactly how hard was that challenge for Vince?
Hey, Robin, Lyrsa. It's Sheldon here from London. This is a question on the last episode. Realistically, how difficult was the challenge that Vince had to do to get the fire from the other tribe? Because, I mean, let's think about it. There's going to be cameramen, there's going to be producers and people taking notes. If somebody wakes up, it's really dark out there. They're not going to be able to recognize Vin. So even if he was seen, it's very unlikely that somebody was going to go up to him and ask him who he is and what he's doing there. So I think that was, although it looked really fun, it was a bit of a cop-out and an easy mission, I guess. What do you guys think?
Okay, Lyrsa, was that a hard mission that Vince had to go on?
It actually is, because even though most of the time people are sleeping, there's always someone that is awake. And, you know, camera people, actually at night, there's not a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if you see something moving, you're going to look and see, try to find out who is there. So it is difficult because there's always someone awake. Natalie was always up. She was always up, same as Mike. So if somebody tried to go into our camp, we will have noticed.
I don't think I would have noticed. I feel like that there's so many people that come in and out of the camp. I think I would just have been like, all right, it's another new person.
I'm a heavy sleeper. I sleep every single day over there.
Yeah.
Every single night. I had no issues with the sleeping, so I would have noticed. But I know that there's people that they are, Natalie was roaming around all every night. She will wake up and walk around and come back and walk around and come back. Same with Mike. So in my experience on the game, we will have noticed someone stranger there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and somebody will, I think Jack woke up, right? I think it was Jack that woke up.
Well, so somebody there had a bad dream. It was, I believe, Tommy. Tommy posted on Twitter that he confirmed that it was him. How funny was that? That as Vince was walking around, Tommy was having this bad dream. Listen to this, Lyrissa. This was Tommy having a nightmare. It's a survivor nightmare, Lyrissa. That was the night terror.
I at first I thought it was one of the birds, because in those islands there's a watercress birds that they don't fly that much, so they're mostly on the ground. And a couple of times they will go into our camp. Like one of those birds fell on top of Elizabeth while we were sleeping. So I thought it was something like that until they say it was a nightmare. But then it reminded me of Natalie, because Natalie will have like dreams and she will wake up and be like, who's there? Who's there? Who's there? And it was just that the first night we were at Giovanni, I'm sleeping. And then suddenly Natalie was like, who's there? Who's there? Who's there? And Mike was like, it's us. You're in Survivor, Natalie. It's okay. It's fine. It's like, oh, okay. And she went back to sleep. So yeah, that nightmare was on time for Vince to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And people wake up. A lot of people don't get a good night's sleep over there because they're uncomfortable. I'm very happy I did.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad with the other players because they were not sleeping well at all. So it was a hard thing to do. And that's a good idea. Instead of like dirt, I will have stolen something else that I will have seen if it was close by. Because usually by the fire, you leave like the machete or some pot or something. Whoa. Or the canteen.
Yeah.
Not that pot.
Okay. Oh, well, speaking of that. All right. Let me play another question for you. And then tell me what you think about Mustache Dragon's idea.
Rob, Mustache Dragon here. I just got a question in regard to Vince's journey that he went on to the opposing team's camp. He stole dirt when at the end of the day, he could have stolen everything. Why would you not steal anything that you can find to hurt the opposing team? That may be cynical, but interested to know what you think. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Not cynical. That's a great idea.
Yeah. What do you think Mustache Dragon says that this was a blown opportunity for Vince?
I think that because he's going to the other camp at night, he doesn't know what's around. There's no fire because it was raining. So you actually, since you don't know where stuff is, you can't steal anything else but what you're supposed to steal. And I think that when I saw the map, the angle that he came in was like right next to the shelter.
Well, Sandra told him all about how the map worked. This was Sandra telling Vince about the map.
What you see on a map is small scale compared to what you actually have to do.
Yeah. The map isn't the same size as what's actually there. That's just the way the map works. It's a very, it's like a miniaturized version of what's actually out there. Yeah.
Definitely. The whole real thing is bigger.
Sandra, yeah, was able to explain that for Vince.
Yeah, I think the way, the angle that he came in, I think he came, as I'm seeing the map on my mind, he came through the left on that tiny path that Sandra pointed at him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he arrived just next to the shelter where they had the fire, you usually don't keep stuff over there unless it's like something like a machete or like the pot where you used to cook the rice and stuff.
Yeah.
But I would have taken his ride. If I had the chance again to play, I would keep that in mind. If I had a challenge like that, I will steal everything.
Steal everything.
Maybe another jacket.
So I thought the scene of Vince then sneaking off was so funny when I pulled that clip to talk about it. Here's Vince's escape from the Vokai tribe.
Mission impossible. I'm pretty sure even Tom Cruise could have handled it.
So it's so funny that he falls down, the music breaks, and then he like gets back up, he like dusts himself off, and then the music comes back up. What do you think, could they get Vince for the next Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie?
I don't know about that, but I can tell you I laugh a lot, and this is gonna sound so mean, but I really, on the inside, of course, I will never laugh at people, but I really laugh on the inside when people trip and fall.
You like
and
that?
And I do. I'm very cruel and I'm very dark. I was very nice on the game. I was very nice. But yeah, he was like tripping and he started to fall down. And I'm like, I was here like, oh, and like moving and shaking like, oh my God, he's going to fall. And I laugh a lot. I laugh a lot. It was a great exit.
You didn't get hurt. It's fine.
No, he didn't. Yeah, and he didn't get like a lot of like dirt on him, so that's good. Yeah. But he did trip.
Lirsa, would you have given the idol for Vince if that was you? Did he accomplish the mission?
I think he did in a way. He couldn't get the fire, but I think it would have been hilarious because it's so dark and you don't know what's going on there. That if the fire was going on and he was able to lit that torch and run away with fire, people would have freaked out. Because you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is fire flying around by itself? Like, I would have been like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Vince, I thought, was really fun. I know that he ends up going out, but he had so many funny moments in this episode besides falling down. This is Vince talking about himself. This made me laugh when he said this.
I'm just little bitty old Vince here with ninja skills.
I really like when he was talking about how the guys now wanted to work with him because they were now noticing that the women really had an alliance. And she's like, you're stupid.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is that clip. This is Vince after the guys talk to him about voting with the guys at the next vote.
The guys never actually talk strategy with me. And now we're down in numbers. And suddenly now I'm like a bro. Y'all are stupid.
Y'all stupid.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me like Bream. I love Bream.
Dude, you guys are stupid.
You're so stupid.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah. And then also that Karishma was getting on his nerves when he was trying to get her to vote with them. And then he was getting frustrated. She wouldn't give him a name.
It's like, girl, you are the one who's on the chopping block. Give us a damn name.
Oh my God, I would have so much fun if Vince was on the David's tribe.
Yeah, he'd be a David, right?
Yeah, definitely. He'll be a David.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dan Sinensky wants to know, are Rob and Sandra Goliaths or something beyond that? Are they Survivor gods this season? Were they ever Goliaths in Bloom?
I think that because of their experience on the game, they're definitely super Goliaths.
Super Goliaths. Wow.
Super Goliaths. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a giant head statue, I think you're a Goliath. I think that's pretty easy.
Oh, that I get it. But those heads are so stupid.
You don't like them?
No, like, I mean, no, I don't. I get the whole setting thing and how you're supposed to be, like, impressed. Like, oh, my God, what is this? But I don't think the Sandra one looks like her. The Rob one really looks like him.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Sandra looks like him, like her.
So what could they have done? Why doesn't it look like Sandra?
I don't know. It just doesn't look like Sandra. For some reason, I try to, like, I keep seeing it and I'm like, I don't see her in it. I don't know. But
I think the problem is that they took them, like, for what they look like. We're all older. We're all older. All of us survivors that have been around for a long time. Like, I don't think they were working off of, like, the Pearl Islands, Sandra, or the, you know, All Stars, Boston Rob.
Yeah, I know. They're probably, like, working with, like, the first season that they did.
No, they're working with, you know, they made the 3D sculptures out of them now.
Oh, out of them now?
Yeah.
Huh. Then I don't
know. Might be it.
Somebody mess it up. That thing doesn't look like Sandra. Not to me. I mean, I use glasses and at night I take them off, so maybe I'm not looking right at it. But I understand it. The impression of, like, oh, what the heck is this? Like, oh, this giant head, it looks like, you know, the Easter Island. But yeah, I don't get it at the same time.
Okay, let me ask you this question from Corey B, because this is about Vince's mission. Corey B says, when Boston Rob described the challenge, they added in Boston Rob saying, now, if they don't have fire for any reason, get something else that proves you were there. This is the clip. This was Rob setting up when Vince goes there that he needs to bring us proof that you were there.
You're gonna have to get so close to them, it's a big time risk. If they don't have fire, you're gonna have to figure out how to bring us proof somehow.
I mean, that was very convenient that Rob threw that in there. In case there's no fire, you have to come up with something else.
I think they knew it was gonna rain. And there was a high chance that there was not going to be fire.
Okay, so you think that rather than that they threw that in after the fact, you think that they knew that it was going to be maybe a rainy night and that the fire might have been out?
Yeah, because they filmed early, and they filmed like around the time that we filmed, and that's rainy season on Fiji. So probably they knew that it was probably going to rain. Mm-hmm. So you need something else. But at the same time, you could have picked like any kind of dirt from the ground and not even get close to them.
Yeah. Hey, I got this ash.
I got this dirt. Yeah. Take it and believe me.
Yeah, show it to them at nighttime. It could be sand. And then here you go. Here you go.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. Let me play you another voicemail. This is one from Victoria from Baltimore. And she's got a great question, Lyrsa. Let's hear what Victoria has to say.
Hi, it's Victoria from Baltimore. I have two questions. The first question is, do we think that Vince and Elizabeth kind of geeked out over Rob and Sandra? We didn't really come back to the camp and see Vince's story or anything like that. Also, why don't Rob and Sandra wear shoes in that little box? It's pretty small, it's a tight space. It's probably not a pleasant experience. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, real quick, just to get through the first part. Yeah, so I talked to Vince in my exit interview with him, which is up on robiswebsite.com. You can check out Vince's full exit interview. But I asked him about, did he talk to Elizabeth about what was going on? He said they talked a little bit, but that he was sort of like being coy with her, and they didn't really have a lot of time to get into everything about Rob and Sandra. That being said, Lyrsa, Rob and Sandra don't wear shoes in the hot box.
Let me tell you something. I didn't notice. I'm going to pay more attention to the next episode because I was looking at their faces all the time. That's like when people complain that we are always on our underwear. I never notice people underwear because I'm always looking at their faces. So I never paid. Yeah, I don't know what's the fuss about underwear because I never notice people's underwear on the show. I always look at their faces and what they're doing, like what they're wearing. I don't care. So I never paid attention to the shoe thing. So next episode, I'm going to see what's going on with those shoes.
Yeah.
Because maybe they maybe so tiny that the shoes take too much space. I don't know. I never noticed.
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird. Like, hey, let me take my shoes. Maybe it's because, you know what? When you get home and you're going to watch TV, you take your shoes off. So maybe because they're like seeing tribal through that
they're sneaking
little
in, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe they're like, oh, let me take my shoes off because it's kind of like TV.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I would say the only reason that I could think of maybe is that, you know, when you go places on Survivor, you get to where you're going. And sometimes there's like a little bit of like a wet landing where,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe if their shoes got wet and then, or they didn't wear shoes because then it's easier to have like your feet be wet than have your shoes be wet. I'm not sure in terms of the real reason, but I love that we got a phone call about why did Boston Rob and Sandra not wear shoes at Tribal Council.
Yeah, I had like no clue. Maybe they didn't bring any shoes.
Maybe. Okay. Speaking of shoes, I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And Rob and Sandra may not be wearing shoes to Tribal Council, but they definitely would if they had Rothy's, because Rothy's are the perfect everyday shoe for life on the go. They're stylish and comfortable, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. They're the everyday flat that goes with everything, Lirsa.
I'm Googling right now.
Yeah, you look it up, because here's the thing about Rothy's is that they're made from plastic water bottles. They're seamlessly knit from thread with plastic water bottles. They're ultra comfortable as soon as you slip them on, and there's zero break-in period with these shoes. Rothy's comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. No risk, no worries, no reason not to try, and it's going to blow your mind that they're from repurposed plastic water bottles. In fact, Rothy's has diverted over 35 million water bottles from landfills already, and they're fully machine washable too, so you don't have to worry about any, like maybe if you're on Survivor, you're worried about what you're going to smell like, but not with your Rothy's, because every time they need a refresh, throw them in the washing machine. It's like getting a fresh pair every day. Plus, Rothy's own and operate their manufacturing workshop where they prioritize sustainability every step of the way. Rothy's shoes ship directly in the shoebox with no unnecessary packaging either. They're the feel-good flats in more ways than one. Nicole loves the pair of Rothy's that she got to try, and you will too. Go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com/Rob to get your new favorite flats, comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothy's.com/Rob today. Okay. Lirsa.
Oh, those look nice, Rob.
Yeah.
I might get some.
Yeah.
They look pretty. I like the Fog Melange, the Chelsea style.
Yes. Yes, exactly. those are the ones that I like also. can I just say one other thing about me? I've watched the episode three times now, Lirsa. And one of the things I thought was really funny also was when Vince escapes from, you know, he gets through on the Mission Impossible, you know, he gets back in the boat, but he just sort of like sits there in the boat. I'm not sure like where the guy who was driving the boat was. Like the guy was not like with the engine on, ready to go. I don't know if that would have maybe aroused too much suspicion, but like Vince gets on the boat and then just sort of like it sits there and we cut away from him. But I think you think he'd be like, go. And like just like drive off as soon as he dives in the boat.
That driver is not going to get the 5 stars of the Uber boat. He was not ready.
he wasn't ready to go. Yeah.
Maybe the sound will have alert people.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with the edit. Like he left or he waited there and then suddenly they're at the challenge. Like we never saw him getting back into the tribe and talking to people. Like I was so lost. I thought I stand up for a second because I was cooking and I went to check in the kitchen what was going on. And I came back and I rewinded because I'm like, what happened? They're like, they're already at the challenge. And there was no scene of coming back to camp.
Yeah. What are you going to do? They didn't show it to us.
The edit has been super weird this season.
A lot to get to with the Island of the Idols.
Maybe. Yeah. I missed like previously on Survivor. Well,
yeah, Learson, well, they don't even do previously on Survivor now. Now that they do like a flash forward, they show you like like little clips of things that are going to happen later on in the episode.
Yeah, and I didn't notice that. I read like on Wednesday, I'm not watching it live because we're doing a show. Another show of the many shows that Jess is doing, and we're not home, so I recorded it, and I stay away from Twitter, but I read somewhere that they're spoiling with previews and commercials.
Yeah, that happened in the first episode, then Jeff Probst made a big deal, and now they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I replied to him, excuse me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, excuse me, why are you guys doing this? I'm ruining it for the fans. But I
excuse me?
I should get excuse me tattooed somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe in my arm and just show it to people like, what? Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it's so weird. I miss the previously on Survivor.
Yeah. Do you need the previously on Survivor? Do you forget what happens from week to week?
No, but it's always, I mean, it's season 39. We're used to stuff. It's like seeing Shameless and not getting that free thing that they do of the characters explaining what happened before.
Yeah. What do they do on Shameless? I saw from somebody else that they said that they need to do it like Shameless.
Yeah. In Shameless, what they do in every episode is like one of the characters complained that you're not up to date with what's going on the show. And he's bickering about like how you're such a loser that you don't know what's going on and explains to you what happened on the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. They call you a loser for watching the show.
Well, they use, you know, it's on Showtime, so they use, like, core language to tell you that you're a loser, and then they explain it to you.
they make fun of you for watching the previously on?
Yeah, they're very rude to you, and I really like it. I like it.
So, what would that be like?
They insult you, and they insult you.
You stupid idiot. You didn't watch the show last week. All right, it's time to smarten up. Here's what happened last time.
You didn't eat your rice last time? What happened?
What would Sandra say? What would Sandra tell the viewers who needed to be explained what happened?
It wasn't me last time, but let's see what happened. Something like that.
Okay. Here's Vince explaining what happened last time on Survivor.
Y'all are stupid.
He should make out a ringtone.
Yeah, that was good.
Put it on his phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of people that Vince might think are stupid, you know, there was the moment in the episode where Dean ended up talking about, hey, he had an idea about what should they do if Vince comes home with an idol.
Say he comes back tomorrow and we think he has one. Will we try to flush it right away?
Overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we just split the vote.
That girl doesn't see it.
Huh? Huh?
My favorite part is that, you know, Chelsea says what happened and he doesn't get it. Dean is,
huh?
Takes him a couple times.
Huh?
Oh, Dean. Well, I'll hug you when I meet you. Yeah, it's obvious that you're going to split the votes, but if you have the whole group, try to come with a plan at the moment and even like point it at yourself. We can split the votes. We can even say it's me, you know, and divert the mistake that you just made that you're going to split the votes on someone that's there with you.
What do you mean you could say it's me? Are you saying as Learsa or as Dean?
Yeah, you could have say, I would have been like, well, we'll split the votes and then I will... you're paying attention. There's no one else there except your group. They will look at you and you'll be like, we can't even use me as a decoy. We can tell him that we're going to vote for me and split the votes. And I trust you guys, you know, make something up, but don't leave that silence there lingering. Huh? Yeah. Huh? What did I just say? Like, yeah. It was like, have you seen that meme of John Travolta on Pulp Fiction looking to the sides like, what happened?
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Have you seen John Travolta's new movie, Learsa?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
Huh?
All right. So, Dean, did you watch the previews, Lyrsa? Are you a preview person?
Of what's going to happen next week?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
That looks like next week. I don't like to talk too much about the previews. It looks like that Elaine is talking about that there could be a showmance with Dean and Chelsea.
Yeah. I heard about it because I was in the kitchen. I heard about it. Yeah, no showmances. People don't learn.
Yeah.
This has been an ongoing situation, and they know that as soon as you put your eyes on someone, you guys are in danger. You put a target on your back, we're going to split you up. This is not The Bachelor.
Yeah, it's not The Bachelor. And
there's no roses.
Well, and Chelsea is my winner pick on the season. I'm worried about her with this romance.
Winner pick is Elaine.
You like Elaine?
I love Elaine. She had me at when she said that she wanted to be Carl from Talladega Nights, because I love Talladega Nights.
Not the Godfather.
No, that Carl. Hey, Carl. By the way, and I love Talladega Nights so much that I went to the racetrack as a birthday present from my brother.
Yes.
And she had me at Talladega.
Now, what you went to a racetrack or a racetrack that was seen in the movie Talladega Nights?
No, I went to the actual Talladega racetrack. It's in Alabama, and my brother lives in Alabama.
Yeah.
And he took me without even telling me, and they have the Wonder Carpet. And I was flipping out. It was a great gift.
What was it about Talladega Nights that you liked so much?
I think that I saw all the Will Ferrell movies with my best friend, and it's how we bonded a lot.
Yeah.
And we were just like Ricky Bobby and Carl, only that we never had a competition between ourselves. We were just like peanut butter and jelly. That's how you say it here. Mm-hmm. Like they're under your nails or something like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love that movie. It's so stupid. All his movies are so stupid, yeah. And I love it.
And they've made a sequel to just about every single movie. How come they haven't made Talladega Nights 2?
I don't know. It could be great, now that you say it. No.
Yeah.
I think it was a really funny movie. All his movies are funny. People really, you either love Will Ferrell or you hate him, because his movies are like, they have like no purpose.
Yeah.
They are no beautiful unless you're very high or drunk, and that was my case every time I saw his movie, so I really enjoyed him.
So I want to talk to you about sticking with Lero, and then we'll talk about what's going on over at Vokai. But over on Lero, we saw a very very disturbing incident where we saw Karishma, and she was cutting something. I don't know what she was cutting. Was she making a mofongo?
I don't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
But
you're a chef. You know how to use the knife and the machete on Survivor. Well, Karishma, she cut her hand.
Think she was opening something, and then she, you know, it slipped on her hand and she cut herself.
Yeah.
And I think that when I saw it, because today I was at work, I hope nobody from work listens to this, but I had the episode on the background. I was working, but listening, and I went back to that scene, and people in the beginning, when she caught herself, they gave her a little bit of attention and like, oh, what's going on? And then she just retrieved herself and went on the ground and did all the things she did. And I think that she alienated herself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the clip, she went like far away from the people. So nobody's going to follow you if you just leave by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So and people were concerned. Like Missy was asking, like, what happened? Like, oh, they're going to take care of it. But they were not all over her. Like, nobody's going to be all over you on the show unless you are on a showmance that you're not supposed to have. But I think that when she left camp a little bit to like do all the thing on the ground, she alienated herself, and people are not going to bother you because a lot of people don't know you.
Yeah.
So they don't know how you're going to react when you cut yourself and when something's going on with you. And people sometimes don't like to be bothered.
Yeah. Okay. Lyrsa, tell me what to do. So if I go back on Survivor and then I cut my hand open, what should I do then?
Oh, you should start crying.
Start crying.
Cry. cry and be like, oh my God, and make a whole scene. And then they put the band in. You're like, oh, I'm so strong now. Like, I can do all of this.
I can do anything.
I can do anything, man. Give me that knife again. I'll cut my other hand.
Now, Karishma was very upset because people did not come to her aid. And she said that then this tribe just does not care about her. Listen to what she said.
If I would have chopped my head off, they wouldn't have flinched.
Now,
he said that, and I'm like, why? Why do you have to go to cutting your head, girl?
If Karishma cut her head off, though, do you think the tribe would have flinched? I think they would have.
Yes, people will notice. As soon as you're like, you have a knife near your neck, people are going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Stop. Don't. I think that she overreacted about the reaction of the other people. But I do understand her, as she feels that she's representing her, you know, her heritage. And that's how I feel. And I think that I can relate to her on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are a minority like we are, you feel that you're just not Karishma or you're not Lirsa. You are, you know, Puerto Rico, or you are, I don't know, Vietnam, or like wherever you're from, because you're an outsider and your country is going to look at you. And you are, in my case, I was Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't representing just myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like the burden that she's like represented all her culture.
Sure. Now, do you feel like that there were things in the game that you did or didn't do because you felt like that you had the weight of all the Puerto Rican people who were watching the show were looking to you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want them to think I was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't make a lot of my funny jokes. First of all, because they're all in Spanish. And when I translate jokes to English, they don't work. But also, I was more concerned and I toned it down a lot because I have an expectation to go to a grad school, like to do a PhD. I didn't have a job, so I need to get a job. And when you are on a reality TV show, you are not in control on how they're going to portray you. So they could have put me like a crazy Puerto Rican person and then I'm going to apply to a school and they're going to Google me. They do that now. People Google you all mm-hmm. the time. You go to an interview, they're not going to look at your LinkedIn account. They're going to look at Google and see why you're up to.
See your memes.
And then if you're a fucking asshole on the show and you're going to apply to a job, your future boss is going to look at it and say like, that person is a problem. I don't want that person here.
Right.
So I that's one of the reasons I played like super nice because I had other expectations. Like Survivor was a great experience, but it's not my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to come back to the real world and face the consequences of what I did there.
So when you talk about the game in those terms, do you feel like that you wish that you were able to shut that part of your brain off and just go out there and have the, you know, experience that you wanted to have? Would that be the advice that you would give to somebody who was a minority that was going to play on a future season?
Yeah. Yeah. I regret not being like, I'm a bitch in the real world. And I regret not being more bitchy and stand my ground and just not try to fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of my mistakes, that I wasn't as savvy and as cutthroat that I am on the real world.
Yeah. But that, you know, that's a double-edged sword too. If you go out there and then you are that particular way on the show, then, you know, if it gets shown, then people, then they get the wrong impression. So yeah, you know, you are representing a lot of people when you're out there.
Yeah. But in the end, you're fighting for money.
You got to be for you.
Yeah. You have to like, this is a good experience and everything, but at the end, there's a lot of money at stake. And if you're going on Survivor, aside from the experience, is because you want the money. And yeah, I'm not going to be like an extreme bitch to people, but I would have been more savvy and I would have been, I feel that at some point, some people thought that I was way of a softie and I wasn't playing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, that's what they think. I know it's not, but
I don't even think that people say. I've never heard people say that about you.
Oh yeah. There were comments, Rob. I read everything. There were comments of people, and people said that I was just waiting to tribal to start playing, and I was playing from the beginning.
What do they know?
Well, they thought that just because I wasn't, you know, talking to everybody in public or doing moves in public and talking about that, they thought I was not doing things and I wasn't playing. And mm-hmm. I was. If I weren't playing, I wouldn't have survived that first tribal.
Yeah. Okay. Lyrsa, let's talk about what's going on over at the other tribe. We saw a lot from Nora last week, and Nora is somebody who's still getting on people's nerves. Could you get along with Nora?
She talks a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, Survivor is such a complicated game because in the beginning, you cannot be all out there because you can get annoying. You know, people, it's like a reduced space. You're going to be with these people 24/7. So yeah, you should talk and mingle, but not go overboard. And I think that in the beginning, in this few days, she's been going so overboard that it's starting to annoy people.
Mm-hmm. And so we saw Dan say, okay, why don't we go and vote for Nora? Do you like Dan?
Dan, that's the older guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay. Is he the Canadian one?
No, that's Tom.
Okay, this is the celebrity representative or something like that. Yeah, she's an easy vote, so people are not going to miss her.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you want to be, you know, relaxing and chill, and if you talk too much.
Yeah. So
I don't blame him.
They say, okay, Jamal, your friend got voted out, Molly, last time. Get in on this 8-1 vote. But Jamal has other plans. And so this was Jamal talking with Tommy about how he felt about the vote the last time out.
More than who was voted out, it is her fault that I wasn't included. So I'm the wild card now.
Lyrsa, I have to say, I went back and I watched this again. I couldn't believe that he said that to Tommy. Why would he tell him he's the wild card?
I don't know. When you're there, you just say a lot of things that you shouldn't say.
And I'm not still 100% sure that maybe he said that in a confessional, and because you don't see his mouth when he says that, but I think he said it in the conversation with Tommy. I mean, if Jamal came out and said, hey, that was from a different conversation, I would believe him. But it looked like it's all part of the same conversation because Tommy reacts to that and is like, wow.
I think right now, well, at that moment, Jamal is very hurt because mm-hmm. they screwed his plans. But also, you can just say, like, I don't want to deal with these people anymore, because you have to deal with them. You have to put your happy face and go out there and try to, like, you know, whatever happened yesterday, it happened yesterday. And you cannot take what happened this early on the game to a heart. Just move on. And I really like Jamal. He's half Puerto Rican, so he's one of my, like, favorite people. But you can just say, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm a wild card. I'll do whatever I want. Because when you get to that point that I'm the wild card, I'll do whatever I want, people will not trust you, and they will vote you out next.
So Jamal then said, okay, maybe we need to go after Dan. And here's Jamal talking about why they need to vote Dan out.
I'm starting to get very squirrely about Dan. I think he's too quick-talking, too kind of bogarting with his words.
He's bogarting with his words, Lyrsa.
I have to be honest. I don't know what bogarting is. I'm not from this country. That's my excuse for everything. So I really don't know what he was meaning.
So I've heard the word bogarting before, but I've never heard it in relation to somebody's words.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I don't even know that word. So I don't know what he's trying to say. But I don't see that Dan has been very active
Yeah.
I have to look at his picture because I haven't seen him very active. Yeah. So I don't know why he is a threat to Jamal right now. Maybe because he is gathering people around, and maybe because he might feel that Dan can be like a father figure because that's what's going on the other tribe with Tom. They see Tom as a dad. So maybe he feels threatened because he's the oldest. People are going to go with what the oldest person says.
Yeah. Well, look, Jamal, you wanted to vote Nora out last time. And if people are talking about voting out Nora this time, then jump on board. Jump on board. Hang in there until the swap.
Stick with the plan. This is easy. Stick with the plan. If they want to vote, as long as it's not you and you don't feel that you're in danger.
He needs to go talk to Sandra.
Yeah, he definitely needs to be the next one there.
Yeah. Okay. Lyrsa, let me ask you some more of these questions. This is a question from Matus on Twitter. As an expert, does cumin work with eggs?
Oh, yeah. I saw that before talking to you. It all depends on what kind of dish you're making. If you are doing, for example, huevos rancheros in the morning, you can add a little bit of cumin. If you're doing like a breakfast burrito and you're putting, you know, your pimentos and jalapenos, you can use a little bit of cumin.
Yes.
Yeah, not too much because cumin is a really strong flavor.
Okay. All right. We won't mess around too much with the cumin.
Yeah, you can put a little bit, but not too much. It's a very
Can I put it on my mofongo?
No, that doesn't go with that. With mofongo, you put mayo ketchup.
Okay.
Mayo ketchup is... It's a sauce.
Mayo ketchup. And
yeah. Well, I am saying it with my accent, which is mayo ketchup. But it's mayo ketchup. And it's so complicated to make, Rob. It's like half a cup of mayonnaise and half a cup of ketchup. You mix it. And if you want a kick, you can add a little bit of garlic, maybe a little bit of like cayenne pepper, and it goes with everything.
Yeah. I have another question for you. This is from Ben Settle, who wants to know, have you ever had papaya in your rice? So when Vince was telling us how Sandra gave the advice of put papaya in the rice, that's Sandra's secret.
Yeah, we actually did. We did put papaya on the rice and we put coconut too and make coconut rice or like attempt to make coconut rice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can put it. We put it like whatever we found, we put it there. Even like those little like hermit crabs.
Throw them in there.
Throw everything. Everything that's edible, just throw it there and make like a big paella out of what you have and just eat it.
Just work with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. I got so many other questions for you about different things. Let's see. Kerry Gravelin wants to know, since a teeter-totter was used in this challenge, Lyrsa, what other playground equipment would be useful in a challenge?
Oh, a seesaw. That's what they use, right? That's how you call it? The teeter-totter?
Teeter-totter, thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I call it subibaja. You know, those are... That's the name in Spanish. Sube y baja. You just go up and go down. The thing with the handrails that you like, the monkey bars.
Yes.
Monkey bars are good for Survivor. And I also think that maybe the swing, you can use a swing and like just jump out of the swing and like try to like maybe, you know, throw a coconut and like play basketball while on the swing, something like that.
Oh, okay. So funny. Yeah. So you have like a basketball game and then somebody is pushing the other person in the swing. And then when you get the closest, then you shoot your basket.
Yeah. That will be a good challenge. I will play that.
Yeah.
I'll be bad, but I will play it.
Why not? That's fine.
Yeah.
As good as anything.
Can you imagine that they listen to this and then they do a challenge with a swing and jumping and playing basketball?
Why? Why would that be so crazy?
I don't know. I want royalties on that.
Yeah. Here's a question for you from Logan Bits Dom. And Logan says, in honor of National Coming Out Day and this week's loss of Vince, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how the game has or hasn't changed for LGBTQ players, considering how otherness creates easy targets so often. And after just losing Vince to gender lines being drawn, kind of. Yeah, do you have any thoughts on that, Lyrsa?
I actually do. I did my research on that question.
Okay.
On my adult things fad.
Okay.
So I went back to a couple of seasons where I knew some people were from the LGBTQIA community. And from the people more recent, because right now it's been more normalized to the society that we do exist and we're normal and we are very productive members of society. And I didn't see that much difference, because if you take, for example, Natalie Bolton, which it's out there that she is bisexual, or that's what the internet said, she lasted 37 days. And you have Ron, Aurora, and you have Sieg, and you have Mike, which lasted more than 30 days. So I don't think in the game, sexual preferences is something to discard you. That's not the reason. Because I have like a lot of people on my list, like Jonathan, 37 days, Brett, 37 days, Mike, 39 days, Sieg, 33, 29. So I don't think that plays anything on the small, you know, cosmo that is the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has more to do with your attitude and who you are as a person and not who you're sleeping with.
Okay. All right. Good adult things.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm so proud. This week has been great. I've been using adult words like merchandise and allocate, and my boss is very proud of me.
What we're using merchandise. Do you have merchandise?
Well, yeah, I work for Spindrift, and I'm not trying to put it out there, but I work for Spindrift, which is a seltzer company, and that's merchandise. And we deal with Costco, which they're selling our products, so they're selling merchandise. Yeah, it's really good.
I think of you.
It's really good. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
And one of the, when we deliver some of our merchandise to Costco, they rejected it because of pallet situation. And I had to write to the broker and I told her that the merchandise was going to arrive on the 15th. And the appointment was at 2:00. And then my supervisor was like, "Oh, I have never seen the word merchandise using one of our emails." So it made me proud. And I used the word allocate too, and that made me feel like
and
a grown-up.
Where did you use allocate?
Because we have different warehouses.
Yeah.
And we allocate our product on those warehouses. So I used the word allocate, and they were like so proud too. Mm-hmm. So I'm adulting on my work. Yeah,
good job.
Yeah.
Can I mention that your Jess works at a product that actually is one of our sponsors?
Of course.
And this isn't a commercial, but if you ever heard me talk about Embark Vet, the dog DNA kit, that's where your Jess works.
Yes, she does. She's actually a team leader now.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me about that. Rob, what's that dog DNA kit that you talk about? It's embarkvet.com. You get 15% off with the promo code Rob.
It's like 23andMe for dogs, which sounds very, very ridiculous, but it does exist and it's very popular now. But it's such a pain to get your dog to like not eat the swab and just it's
that part is hard.
Yeah, especially with big dogs, yeah. they tend to like want to like destroy the swab. So she gets a lot of complaints if they can send another kid because the dog ate the swab instead of just like swapping it.
Do you think that we could get Sandra for any of her Pomeranians?
Oh, that will be so nice. I will talk to Jess so she can get a coupon.
That could be your in with Sandra.
I love Sandra. I wouldn't do anything for her, but you know, I have boundaries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if she wants to try and bark, just hit me up, Sandra. I can, you know, give you a kit for sure.
Yeah. Although I get the sense, I don't know if Sandra necessarily cares about the dog DNA.
I think it's mostly, I don't want to say it because I think they're great.
I think her dog, you know, just like the way Sandra plays the game, it is what it is. I don't know if Sandra really wants to get in the weeds on the dog DNA.
I think also her dogs are breed, and she's pretty sure that that's the breed. It's mostly for people that get dogs from shelters, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's like, you know, that it's like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. So people are doing it for, you know, checking if the dog has any kind of like illnesses or it's propense to develop. Oh, those two words too. Any kind of illnesses because of their breeding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let me give you a question from Laura. Says, as a survivor and a culinary expert, were the survivors overly excited or the appropriate amount excited about the spices last week?
Lirsa, they were too excited.
They were too excited. This was the survivors last week when they got the spice reward.
I don't know why they gave the spices so early. They usually do it like third or fourth, I think it is. Mostly
yeah, this
fourth.
Week they got comfort, and usually they get a fishing kit early. And do you think they gave them the fishing kits to start off the season?
I don't think they gave them, and if they did, it's not something usual like give as a reward because fishing there is almost impossible.
Yeah,
if you fish over there, you're very lucky and very good at it. Like, it doesn't mean anything. When I got to Japan and they won the fishing gear, it was like thrown around. They were not using it.
It's almost like that for all through Survivor history, first you get fishing kit. That's the first reward that they put up there. And then comfort, you know, and with the tarp. That's the next one. But it was spices. This was early for spices.
You just need to use water from the ocean. That's what we did.
Yeah, for salt.
Yeah, it gives like you're not cooking like for a buffet or for a bunch of people. It's just you guys, and you just need to survive. You'll eat whatever, so you just use whatever. I think they got super excited about the spices.
Yeah, that's what Sue Hawk said. It's like, oh yeah, just get some salt water from the ocean, put that on your rice.
Yeah, and it gives it a flavor. Don't use all of it because Elizabeth told me that when they merge and they cook the chicken, they use all of the ocean water, and then she drank it, and it upset her stomach because you're not supposed to like use all the ocean water.
Mm-hmm. Just a drop.
Yeah, it's just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Allison Dobbertin wants to ask, what would Lirsa teach the survivors if she was in Sandra or Rob's shoes? We've already established they don't wear shoes.
Keep your jacket.
Keep your jacket.
First lesson, keep your jacket. Don't give it away. Don't misplace it. No, I think that the listening is very important. And I know that they gave that already, but listening and always pay attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like listening, just look. Just look around and you will notice a lot of things just by the body language of people. Just learn how to read people's body languages. That's very important.
Yeah. What kind of body language would you look for?
Usually the eyebrows and the hands gives a lot.
Eyebrows? I've never heard this before. Tell me about eyebrows.
The eyebrows and the look at you. If they're talking to you and they're not looking at you, like to the eye, something fishy is going on. Because when people have nothing to hide, they look at you and they pay attention to you. So if someone is like not doing anything, like if you're cooking the rice, obviously you have to pay attention to that. But if you're talking to someone and they're not looking at you and giving you the attention, something's going on.
Yeah, this is a really good point. And I had a nice chat with Ron Clark yesterday on the podcast. And we were talking about this in terms of Ron Clark was bringing up something that Boston Rob originally had said in Survivor Heroes vs. Villains about how people sleep next to each other when they're working together. And I think it just has to do with that people don't like to lie. It's too much energy to have to lie to people. So if somebody is not working with you, you just don't spend a lot of time with them. And so that if they're also, you know, they don't want to have a conversation with you, they're not looking at you, they're, you know, not making good eye contact. All these are signs that the survivor player should look for.
Yeah. If you see, it's more of like what people do than what they say,
because
they can tell you whatever. And in Survivor, yes, you have to lie, but you have to have really good memories to keep track of all the lies you're saying, because then if you make a mistake, it's going to be a huge snowball coming at you. because of all the lies. That's why I try to play like honest and not lying to people. Because then you get confused. You get so confused because you don't know. You
can't keep your story straight.
Yeah, you have to keep track. And you don't have a notebook. Like, you don't have adult things spat over there to keep track of what you're saying. So you have to really, really think about what you're going to lie about.
Craig Lodge has a question. Should Boston Rob and Sandra have a lesson on the shelf life of eggs on the island?
I think I already covered that. But if they want to do it, they should. Because people get really confused about the longevity of food, especially because they rely so much on the refrigerator that you just lost the idea of stuff.
Two things, Lirsa. So I have some K-cups that I just found in my cabinet, and it says that they're best by 2016. Can I use those K-cups?
Is that an edible thing?
No, it's you don't eat the K-cup, but you know, you make coffee with it.
Oh, that thing? Yeah.
I've been doing it. I've been drinking the 2016 expired coffee.
Ah, you mean the coffee pods thing?
Yeah, the pods.
The expiration days are, it all depends on how well
should
you
get. Should I allocate stuff. Them to the pantry or should I, remove them?
To be honest, Rob, it's 2019. You need to allocate that in the trash.
Allocate it to the trash.
It's been 3 years. Like, you can eat some stuff that have expired for like 6 months, depending on what you have.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 years, honey, don't drink that
long.
Coffee. It's going to get to you.
Okay. All right. But then the other thing I have to tell you something about Boston Rob.
What happened with Boston Rob?
He doesn't like eggs.
Oh, he doesn't?
He won't eat eggs. Like, he doesn't eat eggs.
I found a love for eggs when I moved here to Boston. I didn't like eggs at all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have them for breakfast. They were like so gross.
He hates them.
Yeah. And then I went to culinary school and I learned how they're like so good with so many things and how they, you know, they are the thing that gets stuff to. It's like glue. Like, it's so good to have a salad and put like an egg there, a sunny side up.
Yeah.
And it melts on it. And it brings a lot of flavors out of the food.
Yeah.
But by itself, I don't like it.
I'm a big fan, but I have high cholesterol, so I don't eat too many of them, Lirsa. But Boston Rob, I've had breakfast with him many times, not on day 39, but he does not want eggs, will not order eggs. Bacon, toast, coffee black, no eggs.
Oh, that's good. I can have breakfast with him.
Yeah.
Like, he can eat one of my bacon roses that I got today.
Yes. So we were talking about before we came on that it's your anniversary this weekend for you and Jess. How many years?
2 years.
2 years. 2 years. Yes. 2 years dating?
Because we went out. We did the all 80s lesbian U-Haul.
Okay, tell me about the all 80s lesbian U-Haul.
So
that's when you move a bunch of stuff?
The U-Haul is that you go out on one date and you like them so much that they never leave.
Oh.
And you just move in. Nowadays, the joke is that, I don't know if I should say this. Maybe, whatever. You said you were not going to censor me.
I'm not going to censor you.
The new joke, the joke years ago was, what does a lesbian bring on the first date? And the answer was the U-Haul. And now it's what does a lesbian bring on the second day? And that's the turkey baster. To get those babies right away. But yeah, Jess, we went out on like 3 days. And after like 3 days on like days on a row, like we went out on like a Wednesday. Then the next day we went out and then on Friday and she never left.
And you guys hit it off that quickly. And you said, okay.
Because I was like hitting on her for so long because she used to be my kickboxing instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go to class and I wouldn't talk to her at all during class. I will ignore her like she wasn't even there.
Okay.
And then after the class,
you were playing hard to get.
In the beginning, I didn't want people to know that I was hitting on her because that was her job, you know, and it doesn't look ethical.
Right.
But I mean, she was too hot and I had to. And every time after class, I will text her, oh, my God, you made me sweat like a pig. class was so good. And she was like, why does this girl doesn't ever talk to me during class? And then as soon as she's out,
you were
she
a sends mystery. Me message.
Yeah. I invited her out like 5 times and she was always like, no, I can't. Always making up excuses. And I knew
so she's playing her, hard like, to get.
Yeah, she was being stupid. I thought, like, you were so stupid doing that shit to me.
Why? Was she shy or she felt like that was inappropriate to go out with one of the students?
She felt that her boss was going to feel that it was inappropriate, but it wasn't like she was teaching me chemistry. It was just kickboxing. Right. And I was very persistent because when I saw her, I look at her and like, this is the one. This is the one I want. And where we have a saying in Spanish that says, donde tú pones el ojo, pones la bala. So wherever you look at, you put, you know, the finger on it and it's going to be yours.
Okay.
And I put my eye on her and like, that girl's going to be mine. And she sent me bacon roses.
Yes. And so that was what she got for you. She got you a bouquet of, it's a bouquet of raw bacon or it's cooked bacon?
No, it's cooked bacon. And the funny thing is that years ago, Rob, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I found a picture of a bacon roses on the internet and I put it on my Facebook. And I'm like, I wrote, the day a woman gives me for Valentine's Day a bouquet of bacon roses, that's the woman I'm going to marry.
Yes.
And when I got the roses at work today, I call her, I'm like, do you saw my Facebook? And she's like, no, why? Like years ago, I posted, I was going to marry the woman that gave me bacon roses. And you did. And I mean, we're engaged. We're going to get married. Her mom might find out through this podcast. But yeah, it's like, I mean, who doesn't love bacon and roses? It's
very delicious. Like yes.
I was so touched at work.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God. And they taste great. Great bacon roses.
And did Jess make them or that's something that you can order?
It's a company. Okay. It's a company that you can order.
The merchandise.
I can make them at home. Yes. Yeah. It's a merchandise.
And do you know when you're going to get married yet?
No. We're weddings are so fucking expensive, bro. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's why they are. I think they're the number one most revenue business in the United States, weddings, because they're so expensive. And people have told me to, for example, rent a venue. I don't say it's a wedding because they charge you even more if it's for a wedding.
Okay. So I'll come to Boston. We'll do Survivor Know-It-Alls one night and then the next night, then you could get married.
Well, my original idea was, and I told Jeff this, you know that when in Millennials and Gen X, he told Figgy and what's the name of that dude?
Taylor.
With long hair? Yeah, that he was an ordained minister and that he could marry them right there. So I told Jeff in one of my last interviews that if I made it far enough to the family, to the loved ones, that if he will marry us there, that ooh, I will marry Jessica there on the show if I made it to the loved one visit.
Yeah.
And he laughs and he's like, we'll see. But I was going to like ask him if I made it far to the loved one, I was going to be like, Jeff, marry us. This is the one I want.
Yeah, but then you get voted out, Lisa.
But then I will be with the love of my life.
No, you'll be at Ponderosa. Matter.
Well, that's why. No, I'm trying to be romantic for when my lady listens to this.
Let you make a bad decision because you'll get voted out. But tell me, Lirsi, I know you just went to Fiji. Are you thinking about getting married in Fiji?
That's what her dad said, because we told him like weddings are so expensive, to see if he was like, well, it's okay, we'll help you guys. And he was like, you're going to Fiji. Why don't you get married there? And I can't do that. I'm from a Hispanic family. My mom has to be in the wedding. My mom has to see that. So we couldn't do that.
So you need it to be a family affair. You can't do a destination wedding.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I can make a destination wedding in Puerto Rico and have my family there.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to see what options that we have. In the end, maybe we'll just go to City Hall and just sign the papers. So that's it.
Tara Renee says, I adore the relationship between Lirsa and her partner, Jessica. Would Jessica ever apply for Survivor? Does Jessica like the show?
She likes the idea of the show. She really miss me a lot when I was away.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've been telling her that she has to apply to the show, even if she doesn't get in, because I am pretty sure that she will do great. And all our friends that I'm like, I told her to apply and she doesn't want to because she thinks that she's not going to make it far. And all our friends are like, are you crazy? You're athletic. You're so smart. You're very social. And she's like, I'm not social at all. And I'm like, you do burlesque show. You are very social. You're mm-hmm. not afraid of people. I think she will be great on it. And yeah. if she does it, she should win because then she will pay my student loan. So that will be great.
That's true. But I don't think it's good for the relationship. I think that you don't need two survivors. It's too crazy.
The thing with
Rob and Amber can do it, but not that many other people can do it.
The thing is that Jess and I will love to get in a competition against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, I want to try just to see and try to get farther than you did. Because with that, she will be happy. Even if she doesn't win, she just wants to prove that she can go and be in the game longer than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be so happy. I will support her because she did support me. I will support her if she wants to do the show.
Okay. Edward Morris wants to ask you, are chiropractors legit? Do you know anything about chiropractors?
I have a friend that is a chiropractor.
Yes.
They are legit. They do crack your neck and your bones, and it feels so good when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think they're good. I don't know why is this. Have we ever had a chiropractor on the show?
On the show. I don't know if we ever had a chiropractor on Survivor. Boston Rob seemed to wonder if they were legit. That's what he asked Kelly last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Boston Rob, part of his interview questions.
So have you made like coconut popcorn?
So how did you meet Brock?
You guys have frying pan? I've always wondered about chiropractors. Like, are they legit?
Yeah, are they legit? Do people in Boston suspect chiropractors are not legit? Are there shady chiropractors in Boston?
I don't know. I know a friend of mine goes to one and just has a friend that is a chiropractor sort of, and she goes there sometimes and they crack her a little bit.
Yeah.
So I have never heard people, you know, bring complaints about that.
Okay. All right. This is a question that's for this is a good question. This is from Gonzalo Palma Body. And he says, I'd like to start my question by saying that Lyrsa and I are very similar. We are both Latino, LGBT, yay, and woo, anthropologists. So
trifecta.
We're basically the same person. My question is, did being an anthropologist help you in the game?
It did. It did. Because
how so?
When you're on,
first off, what is an anthropo? I only know anthropology, that's a store in the mall, right?
Yeah, no. It's more than that. Anthropology falls under the umbrella of social sciences, and we study the culture of people and the impact on like the society, right? And it has other brands like, you know, physical anthropology and archaeology. So it's the cover of a lot of other, you know, professions. And anthropology basically is just sitting down and looking at people, taking notes and analyzing why they're doing what they're doing and their practices and their culture. So it did help me a lot. I know that a lot of people made fun of me because I had like a bunch of like careers and degrees and yeah, they were like, oh, she's the new Debbie.
No, you're the new Ronnie.
Yeah. Oh my God. He said so many things on that trial. Yeah,
this is how many jobs Ronnie had.
I mean, I've done a lot of different things in my life. I worked at McDonald's. I've worked as a layaway manager at Walmart. I worked at Sears Automotive as a customer service advisor. I bartended. I worked at Bickford's, delivered newspapers. I helped my friend with his macronutrient protein bar company. I've tried to dabble in the stock market. I kind of failed there. I've dealt with crypto. I've dealt casino games. I've attempted the kickbox in Thailand a few different times.
Oh, did he go to kickboxing with Jess?
No. He didn't, but I heard that. I'm like, maybe we can, you know, train together at some point.
He's from Boston, too.
Yeah, he's from nearby. I think I contacted him. The people there, I'm so excited with this season because there's a lot of people from the Northeast that I can finally hang out with like more people. So I'm very excited about this cast. But he said too much on that tribal.
That was too many things.
Every tribal, I will say, I'm an anthropologist because I am. And then on the other one, I'm a chef. I know this. You don't throw all your resume in one tribal. You just take it easy, man. Easy. Yeah. But anthropology helped me a lot. I knew what was going on the whole time. I think I told you last time that I knew that Nick was a lawyer and I knew that Davey had the idol.
How did you know he was the lawyer?
Because the way he was talking. I know my Law and Order. And when he started to talk about what he does... Yeah, I'm like, this guy is a lawyer. And he's like, oh, I'm a social worker, kind of. Because he couldn't even explain that well, the title of his job. And I'm like, this guy is a lawyer. And the words he's using, this is lawyer.
Yes. And you love true crime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love it. And when we came back, I sent him a message. I'm like, you're a lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I knew. And he was like, I knew you knew. I knew you knew. I'm like, yeah, the way you were talking, it was very Law and Order. I don't know how nobody else paid attention to that.
You figured it out.
I knew that Davey had the idol, too. I was very aware of what was going on.
Okay. This is a question. This is a good one. Okay. Buckle up for this one. This is from Ben from Oklahoma. He says, I have two questions for Queen Lyrsa, but it requires a little exposition. I had a dream last night that I got sent to the Island of the Idols. However, instead of Rob and Sandra being there, it was Lyrsa, and she was telling me about her experience at Ponderosa. She was detailing the sad movie she had to watch, and while she was talking, I noticed that Rob and Sandra were sneaking in the ocean. I realized Lyrsa was just there to distract me. It wasn't an emoji movie, right? That's not sad.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, Lyrsa, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah. So I raced into the ocean and I found an amazing race clue. And I realized that Rob was teaching me about a whole different game. And I was furious. The clue read that I had to hide from the former survivors until sunset. Needless to say, I felt duped about my survivor lesson. And my question is twofold. One, what real advice would Lyrsa give to someone on Island of the Idols? And two, would she ever go on The Amazing Race, and who would be her survivor partner? So first off, what do you make, as an anthropologist, what do you make of Ben's dream?
Oh, that's a crazy dream. Were you smoking before going to sleep? There's so many people and so many things going on. That was a really trippy dream.
Yes.
But I'm so glad that I was in your dream. That's so nice of you. And that you call me queen. I think that my advice will be always find something to do at camp. Aside from strategize.
Like what?
Bring some wood for the fire. Clean the pot. Bring food. Like, even if it's like some papaya or coconuts. Always do something so people think that you are useful, even if you're not and you think you're not. Make yourself useful. Bring stuff around, work around camp, because the ethic of the game also include what's happening at camp. Well, you guys don't see a lot of what happens at camp. And sometimes viewers are lost because they don't know where the players are coming from. Mm-hmm. And it's because there's a lot of things going up at camp. So make yourself useful at camp. That will be one of my, advices.
Okay. And then would you go on The Amazing Race with the survivor?
Yeah. I love The Amazing Race. I would love to do The Amazing Race. And I think if I have to pick a survivor, if I couldn't take Jess with me, I think I will do The Amazing Race with Elizabeth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then this is a question from Tara Renee. Could Lyrsa beat Elaine in a wrestling match? Did you see when Elaine was wrestling everybody in the water?
Yes. Yes. No, she will beat me.
She will beat you?
Yeah, I don't have to think about that answer. She will beat me. Or I can be her Carl and she can be Ricky Bobby and I'll be in the corner just waiting for her to beat me.
Okay. This is a question from Mary Conway. Mary says, they seem to be wearing some nice jackets this season, Are you surprised that nobody asked Molly or Vince for their jacket before they left?
Well, I think that after a season, clothing items have become a focus to many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe I didn't see Molly's jacket.
I didn't notice it either. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice her jacket. But I think that if you are voted out early in the game, and it is rough at night. I get it. It's very cold. I wasn't cold, but I know that people get cold over there. You should leave something. And I mean, you're not playing anymore. And you're not going to use that jacket or your socks or your shirt. You're going to either probably throw it away or do what I did. It's like wash it like 1,000 times and put it in your closet as a memento. So if you really don't value your clothes, help your tribe mates.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice message to people.
Yeah, unless you're taken out because of your jacket, then take it with you.
Then take it with you. Spite them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lyrsa, I had tweeted the other day about how I was having trouble with my Memoji. And you responded about how you can't find a way to add your septum ring. Jess could. And you were upset.
Yeah, because like I didn't even know that existed, and she did an update on her phone, and then she sent me her Memoji, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And she's like, oh, it's this new thing that you have to make on your contact list and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I want it. So I updated my phone, and I'm playing with it, and I couldn't find the ring. And she's like, but in mine, it shows up, and it's because I needed to do another update to that update. And I found it. I have like a real Memoji. It looks like me because now I'm a blonde. So it really looks like me. Okay. And I'm excited about it.
So I tried to work on it for about 30 minutes the other day of trying to make my Memoji that's on the new iOS on my phone. And
why so long, bro?
Because I couldn't make it look like me. None of these things look like me.
They're not going to look exactly like you.
It looks nothing like me.
It's going to look like some sort of version of you.
So I have a Bitmoji, and the Bitmoji looks like me. Maybe Mike White is cursing me that my Memoji can never look like me.
Maybe, but you are right. The Bitmoji is more accurate. I was comparing, actually, after you tweeted that and I fixed my Memoji, I went to Bitmoji and I compared them, and the Bit Emoji looks more than me.
Yeah.
Also, you can put clothing on the other one.
Right, so, right. The clothing so helps me. It. Yeah, I don't have a little button nose like this Memoji.
Yeah, the noses is just like either small, medium, or large. That's very
not happening.
Arbitrary.
Not happening. It's really upsetting me. I couldn't get it to work. Okay. Lyrsa, so what do you have coming up these days?
Well, these days, we're doing so much stuff, Rob. We have a busy, busy agenda. I'm taking a back seat because Jess took the back seat when I was playing Survivor. So now this is her year and she's doing a lot of things.
Yes,
a lot of shows. But we are
in the back seat and let me drive.
Like Missy, the old original Missy. Yes.
Yeah. So we are here in Boston. The queer scene is very limited, and the biggest club or mostly the mainly one club that we have here is going to close down. Machine is closing down. And
when you say a club and I'm Lyrsa, I'm an old guy. What is a club? It's like a dance club.
Yeah. It's like a disco. It's like a disco. It has like 2-3 levels and people go there and dance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's closing down. And there's virtually no other place for us to like meet and, you know, have fun. So Jess and I, back at home, we have so many places we can go. And I was missing that.
Now where's home? Home?
Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yeah. So back at home, we have like many places events that you can go and the queer community can like, you know, hang out. And that's lacking here. So I told Jess, why don't we create our own event? Because she's doing burlesque. And there's also like, you know, once you're in a troupe, it's very like, kind of like, you know, difficult to get into a troupe. So you have to do many, many gigs. I'm like, why don't we come up with our own show? So we created this event called Cunts. Boston, Cunts with a K.
Okay.
And the and the U has the dots on top of it.
Okay.
And it's once a month.
What do you call those dots? A oolad?
Something like that. I can't pronounce that
Stephen
word.
Ask Stephen Fishback. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it. The U with the dots.
Okay.
That's how I call it. And it's called Combustion, and we do the event once a month. And it's a combination of, and it's intertwined between music and dancing.
Sandra Diaz Twine.
Yes. And burlesque performances. So we did our first event 2 weeks ago. It went pretty well. I was so scared that people was not going to show up. And they did. And we're going to have our second one on the 27th at Jack's Cabaret.
Okay.
And it's going to be a Halloween theme.
Okay.
And we're going to have great performances and a contest. It's going to be great.
But contest, right?
Yes.
So how does the show work? What do you see in the show?
So you're going to see me.
Yeah.
Making a fool of myself. And I'm the MC of the show.
Okay.
And we have an opening act. Some girl is going to perform, and then we're going to have music, and there's some go-go dancers, and the go-go's are great. They're amazing. And then we'll start having different performances. We have Jess performing and other people from the burlesque community. So it's intertwined. You'll dance a little bit, and then we'll have somebody perform. And it's really fun. People really, in the beginning, like everything, people were very shy. And then they got their hype on, and the music was great, and people
danced. They get their hype on.
Yeah, you know, they get excited about it, yeah. And they start dancing and stuff. It was really good. It was really good. And it's going to be a new place for people just to go and, you know, meet other people and or go out with your friends.
Okay, so do you have a link that people can check out to see if they want to come out and see the show?
They can find us on Instagram at Kunt Boston, K-U-N-T Boston.
Mm-hmm.
That's our account. And once we said the whole thing, we always do an event on Facebook. Okay.
Can I ask why do you call it that?
Well, because it's triggering.
It is triggering.
And in the beginning, I was very set on just having a show for females. And, you know, I cannot exclude people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're inviting everybody from the queer community. But the word, we did like tiny like presentation cards, and we went to Boston Pride. And I handed the cards out, and it said super big, like cunt. And everybody was like, what the heck is this? So they will stop. It triggered people.
Yeah.
People want to know what the cunt is bringing. So it is what it is. I'm sorry. I know there's kids listening to this, but
I'll put a disclaimer on the show.
Okay.
But it sounds like it's a good show.
It is. It's super fun. And once we are more established, I know that a lot of people are going to have even more fun.
Okay. Well, I had a lot of fun getting to catch up, Lyrsa.
Thank you. Me too.
I always love getting to talk to you on the podcast. And I think you're so much fun to get into all this stuff with.
Thank you. I really love doing your podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I appreciate you being here. I know you were podcasting. How did that go?
Oh, that went down the drain. Well, it's because I admire you and all the podcasters out there, because it takes a lot of time and you have to invest a lot of, like, you know, emotions in it, because you have to do your research. And we did our research. The thing is that when we started it, we were just trying it out, and then just got a bunch of like shows and jobs, and I was doing my thing. So it's mostly that we haven't had the time to sit down and just do it.
Okay. But you guys got along on the podcast? There wasn't any fighting?
Oh, no, we don't fight. Not in public.
Yeah.
Not in public.
Yeah. Because I could tell you that I've podcast with my wife for many years, and especially in the beginning, there would be podcasts, and then she would say, "Oh, take that out. Why'd you say that on the show? Why did you put that part in?" And so that's complicated to podcast in a relationship.
I think it's that because we don't have a filter. Did you have seen it? I don't have a filter. She doesn't have a filter. And we're mostly doing it for our friends. Because I did it once. I recorded something and I posted it on Facebook. And people were like laughing. And a bunch of like people saw it. And were like, oh my God, you guys should do this. You're like so amazing. And we're always joking around. So I think because the way we are, it wasn't an issue. We didn't have any boundaries. We're going to talk about stuff. And it was just sitting down and talking about shit. So it was good. It didn't bring any issues. It's just that we don't have the time right now.
Okay. All right. Lyrsa is also on social media. People want to follow you. Lyrsa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter with just my name, Lyrsa. I'm like Beyonce. I didn't have to put number one or anything. I'm the only Lyrsa there.
And no underscore. You're just at Lyrsa.
At Lyrsa. You don't have to put the real Lyrsa. It's the real one, guys.
So beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter and you
amazing
can find me
Twitter
on
handle.
Yeah, thank you. I've been blocked from Twitter accounts. People have blocked me. But
why?
Mostly because
what do you mean?
Because it's mostly political stuff.
Oh, because you tweet about political. Because you don't hold anything back. You tweet about politics and then people block you.
Yeah. And if you're making a stupid comment, I'm going to tell you're stupid. And people don't like that. And
people don't like it when you say you're stupid.
Yeah. And they block me. So there's like a singer, a Hispanic singer, Willie Colon, and he blocked me. Mm-hmm. So people block me. I don't care. It's whatever. But I mostly use the Instagram, and that is a little bit complicated. It's Toxo Plasmolir. And people always ask me why. And it comes from toxoplasmosis, which is the crazy cat lady syndrome. So I play with the words.
Yes.
So that's why it's so long and complicated. And now I'm afraid of like changing it to just Lyrsa or Lyrsa Maria, because then somebody's going to take my name. So
okay. Nobody should do that.
No. Facebook is just for friends and family.
I'm in. Not everybody can get in.
It's just people I know, because I do on Facebook, I do post pictures of my family and my friends, and I have interactions with them. And if I know that a lot of fans are super nice, but you know, from my season that some people were not nice to me. And I think that my family and my friends didn't sign up for this, so they don't have to deal with people telling them stuff.
Who's not nice? The other players or the fans?
Oh, the fans. Okay. Oh, I have a great story about this, and I don't know if you have time for this.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's like a 2-hour story.
Okay. No. It's kind of quick. So there was this person on Instagram. It was the one that did that whole chat group, and they were calling me dag, and that Jessica was like anorexic, and they were like talking a bunch of crap, right? And this person kept leaving comments after the season. They kept leaving comments at me, like really mean shit. And then one day the person added me to another group and wrote, "I think we should kill all lesbians." And this is a kid. This is a 14-year-old kid. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to allow this. This is so stupid. You should be in school. So I posted that conversation on Instagram, and his Twitter, Instagram friends went and sent me messages telling me his real account. So I went on his real account and I found his family there. And I started to look to see Yes, I found his mom. Her account was not active since 2016, but everybody has a Facebook. So I put her name on Facebook. Her profile came up. It was open.
Right.
And I left her a message and I contacted her, the mom. And I told her about what stuff his kid was saying on the internet about killing lesbians. And voila, the kid is gone.
That is so great.
He has never annoyed me. And I told Jessica, I'm like, you know that kid? I found his mom. And she's like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I found his mom.
Yeah, that is the best way. For anybody who's been harassed online, to find the kid's mom and be able to get them grounded.
Find the parents, because most of the bullies online are kids, are teenagers that have nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So find the parents and tell them that kid has not been on Instagram for like 6 months.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say that to people that are harassing me. I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm going to tell your parents on you.
I'm going to find your mom.
All right. Well, you have to be able to do it then. I think it could escalate.
Yeah.
Things.
It just got so out of control that when he said like, oh, let's just kill lesbians. Like, no. Killing is like, you're 14. Killing is a strong word.
Yeah.
And you should not be saying this kind of crap.
Okay. All right. Well, Lyrsa, this was so much fun to go through. Thank you for talking all of this Survivor stuff and real life stuff through with us. I want to tell people, hey, be on the lookout for the Wiggle Room on Monday. Lyrsa, have you still followed the Wand off at all?
Yes, I haven't been on podcast this season because I discovered I can listen to my Spanish soap opera. So I've been catching up with that. But now I finished that, I'm catching up with the podcast. So I have it on the list.
Yeah,
I really like the girls from Boston that they wrote that song about me last season. And I even met them. They're so funny. They're great.
Yes. Becky and Taylor.
Yes, they are so amazing.
Yeah,
they're so funny.
Yeah, they do a great job. Week after week, you could hear them and all the other Wand Off artists every single week. And Boston Rob has been a great addition to the Wand Off so far this season. So we'll get into that on Monday on our next podcast. And if you haven't listened to my interview with Ron Clark, check that one out as well. Lots of fun stuff coming up as well next week on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And of course, thanks to the patrons of Rob's Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible, plus everything I do on our patron-only podcast feed. We've got our Patron Friday. Well, Lyrsa and I are talking in the regular Facebook Friday slot, so I'm going to do it on Saturday this week. So be on the lookout for that and everything else going on in our patron Facebook community. You can find it all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Lyrsa, thank you again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.